Pigeon.
Make Maddie proud. Make Daddy proud.
Don't dye your hair.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
Hello, welcome back, everybody. First up, we got Wellness Check. Shay, take it away.
Well, we're doing good, guys. According to the stats, guys, Alexander Barkov has been an absolute monster on the ice. And honestly, you don't need the stats to see that. Like, there's something about just, like, looking at Alexander Barkov when he has the puck on his stick that, like, it's absolutely beautiful to watch. But, like, the numbers speak for themselves. Like, I think it was Dmitry Filipovich that put out, like, his 5-on-5 minutes this season. I won't bore you with the actual statistics, but they're kind of insane. So for Beget the Selkie, I'm on the Barkov for Heart train now. But real talk, if we're talking my team, Sam Reinhart was NHL star of the week last week. He's always been a star in my heart, but they were, like, I was watching the ESPN broadcast this week, and they were actually talking about, like, early Hart candidates, and they were saying, like, Sam Reinhart might be an early Hart candidate when it comes to candidates this year, since a certain someone isn't in the running, but we'll talk more about that later, I guess.
Yes.
Other than that, hockey Twitter earlier this week was torn between being upset at Matthew Tkachuk for beefing with Connor Bedard and asking if Bedard had bad vibes and deserved it. And I want your guys' thoughts on that.
I don't think Bedard has bad vibes. I think everybody else has created bad vibes around him. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. Like, I think if he was on a different team,
yeah,
it would also be better vibes, but not good vibes. They'd just be, like, more neutral.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, does Matthew Tkachuk deserve to beef with Connor Bedard in this
he
case?
He can beef with whoever he wants.
Fact. Okay. Matty is going to beef with everyone, and that's just him. So
yeah, okay,
gotta let it
perfect
be.
perfect. Anyways, either way, we won 5 games in a row while still missing like half our roster, and I wrote that I'm cautiously optimistic, and then promptly we lost a game to the Kings after I wrote that. But after we lost that game to the Kings, we got our 1,000th franchise wings to the Ducks. So, like, we're back. So it's fine. But we also, like, lost Alexander Barkov to an injury. And he's day-to-day now. So, like, maybe we're not back. But I'm happy to report that Aaron Ekblad and Brandon Montour are finally back on the roster. So is Sam Bennett. So maybe we're fully healthy, almost, if Alexander Barkov is back by Monday. I'm not sure. This team can't stay healthy. We'll see. That's my update.
We'll see.
Either way, we are like 3 points away from catching up to like the Bruins. So like we're in a good spot despite the injuries.
Bruins piss me off. Why are they still good? They should not be. Logic says they should not be. Ugh. I'm sure it'll catch up with them.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? Just go for it. President's Trophy all the way. We know what happens then. No worries. The Leafs. I haven't actually watched a full Leafs game. in probably 3 weeks.
Feel that.
Like, I keep trying, and then I'll have something that day, so I'll watch, like, half a period. And that's it. I don't know what... The only full hockey games I've watched in the past 3 weeks, I've either played in or have been played by 11- and 12-year-olds. So...
Fair enough.
That's all I got. They're in Sweden right now, though, which is very fun. Exciting.
Somehow, Megan and I were invited. So.
I don't know how that happened. Like, why didn't they invite us?
They should have known better.
They really should have. We talked about it as soon as they announced it. They were like, we're like, they should take us.
Exactly.
And yet, they didn't.
Here we are.
So rude.
Really offensive of them.
It really was. It's been fun though, because they're literally playing a game right now. We're recording at like 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Their game started at 8. Why not? I love having an 8 a.m. game. More likely I can watch it, actually. And then same with, they played Friday against Detroit, and at like 2:30 Eastern, which again, lovely. I'm all for it. More fantastic. Early morning, early afternoon games. There's been a lot of fun content. Obviously, William Nylander, just his existence.
He is
to begin with.
Just so perfect. Me just linking tweets of Willie that police have put out.
All their content has been so good. Like, he's just killing it.
Fantastic. There's no one I appreciate more than the Leafs Twitter admin.
Yeah. Thank you. You're doing the work here. Not gonna lie, my favorite piece of content was the candy. Just with him though. Because like, why?
He's popping up.
He just shows up, gets a piece, eats it, like he's looking, he gets another one, he walks away, he comes back, he gets some more. Like, he's just eating all the food.
Really? Like, that's so real though.
Yeah. And I think it's even funnier because there's like 5 Swedes on this team and he's the only one doing this.
No, literally. They did the, when they were walking into practice, they did one of those question things. And it was like, who's your favorite Swedish hockey player? And they were just so many of the Swedes. And all of the Leafs content is just Willie, which I appreciate. Big Willie girl over here.
Okay, my favorite part of that video, there's two. One, the way like Matthews just kind of does a little smirk and goes, Kelly Yarncroft. And then Willie just kind of pointing to himself.
Like, that killed me.
So funny.
I was honestly waiting. I was expecting all of the Swedes to say myself, me. And only Willie did it, which is on brand. So
That is so on brand for him. And then he went on a talk show, which to me looks like Swedish Graham Norton. If you've ever seen Graham Norton, it's like a BBC show. It was a talk show, but like they, all the guests are out on a couch together and they have conversations together. So that's what it looked like to me. And I don't even know how to describe what I saw going on in that. Like, he's just... First of all, Alex, can you describe what he's wearing in that?
In what?
In the, like, talk show thing.
Everybody, hold on. I don't think I even saw.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Well, he's wearing, like, this white tank top.
Oh, my God. Wait. Somebody find it and send it to me right now. I just need to be in on the Willy lore.
I kind of want to see this too. I'm not gonna
lie. I'm looking. All right. While I'm doing that, why don't you tell me about what else Willy has been wearing that you love?
Oh, fantastic to the game today against the Wild. He pulled up in a velour. I don't know if it's velour, if it's corduroy. It looks kind of soft, though. Forest green suit, gray turtleneck. He's really been vibing with his outfit. He's really been popping off.
Also, I think it's just a photo, but it really looks like he has wicked heels. Not wicked heels, but like pretty big heels.
Like those are going out heels to the fullest.
Yeah. Like these are pretty big for you.
I love the pose in the second picture where his like a hand is just slightly towards his chin. He's like
he's a model.
Yeah, it's like he's a model in like a fragrance commercial.
The man knows his angles. They did a video that was 60 seconds with William Nylander, and the last question I think they asked was where the best selfie spots in Sweden are. You picked the right one. Mm-hmm. Take the man on a photo shoot. He's got all the angles.
No, real.
So funny. Okay, I sent it in the group chat, the like one clip. He's actually talking about or admitting to having sent nudes.
Oh my god.
That's very funny.
That's so funny. What is he wearing?
It's something. I don't know if it's good or not, but it's something.
He has a free little drink.
I was gonna say that's the other thing about Graham Norton is like they drink on the show. Like you'll just see them having a drink. But in my opinion, Graham Norton is a good show, so I'm sure this is.
Wait, this lady double fisting over here?
No, real.
I think she's the host too.
I love it.
At he one looks... point
sorry, yeah, go ahead.
No, yeah, okay. There you go.
He he looks like Ross Lynch. In, oh my god, what's the movie? The Disney Channel movie.
Teen Beach Movie?
Yes! That's what this outfit reminds me of. The outfit, the hair.
Yeah, I can see that. He also, at one point, the like host lady starts like feeling his muscle, his arm muscles. Like, that's a different clip I don't think I have. But I saw that and I was like, oh my god. This man, he's just having the time of his life.
Yeah.
Right now.
As he should.
Really, just having a blast.
Exactly. He's still on a point streak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not just having a blast off ice. He's having a blast on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
So he is 17 game point streak. That's like fifth longest in the NHL, I think it said. Something like that.
They just tweeted out the stat this morning and I looked at it and it lost.
I think it was like 5 or 7. Like it was pretty freaking high. And he's only, I think, 2 more games would put him in 3rd or 4th, I think. Because obviously you have to know Gretzky longest point streak, mm-hmm. like 51 mm-hmm. games or something. But Matt Sundin is also on there with about 30 and another Gretzky streak around there as well. So like, again, this man is just ridiculous right now. And like you watch him play and you're like, what the fuck? How are you so good? I think we need to pay him right now before he gets any more expensive.
Absolutely. Also, looking at this, like the stat that they put out, the seasons are really funny because the only one in like the last couple of years was McDavid in 21-22 season. And everything else is 19s or very... like 2005 and 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just Willie 2023. He said, it's my year.
It is his year. Like every single thing. He's been penalty killing. Like, Do you know how good it is to have Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews and William Nylander be able to penalty kill?
Like, fantastic.
You're no longer penalty killing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You're just playing with a man down, but it's okay.
Fine.
Are we done with William Nylander? For now?
We'll probably circle back, but yeah.
We probably will circle back. So, Mitch Marner got his 400th assist today. I think he also might have gotten his 401st after that. But he's the third fastest active NHL player behind Crosby and McDavid to reach 400, which is, again, insane. Mm-hmm. I keep, like, qualifying all of Matthews and Marner's stats because, like, Matthews you qualify with for his goals once you qualify that he didn't have a wrist for, like, half a season. Or, two seasons. And then you qualify Marner with the fact that he played on the fourth line so pretty often in his first 2 years because fucking Babcock. Like, remember when his line mates were like Matt Martin and I don't even remember who it was. Somebody else slow. Gauthier?
Oh, goodness.
It was somebody like that. It was somebody slow, big and slow. And Mitch is, I mean, like, Mitch was doing what he could, but, you know, the fact that that was his rookie year and, like, his second year, he's playing on the fourth line pretty often when he should be playing with, you know, good players. And then he didn't even get to play with Matthews until, like, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Ridiculous. I hate Mike Babcock so much. They could have broken so many more records.
They really could have.
Really could have.
Ugh. Anyway. So yeah, the Leafs are having fun in Sweden. They had, they've obviously done a whole bunch of content, but they're doing, like, sweets videos and had them all try this, like, salty candy. And basically, they're all like, yeah, this is disgusting. Please get me something else. Mm-hmm. This is disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Except
there was one person and I did not recognize his face. Thinking,
oh my.
Do you know who it was?
No, but he said, yeah, I don't know who it is, but I also did not know who that was. Honestly,
it was maybe Connor Timmins. Because Timmins, for some reason, is on this road trip. Just for the vibes, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he's nearly back from injury.
When they did the Who's Your Favorite Swedish Hockey Player video, I was looking at them. I cannot have people just by their faces. Like, I don't know what any of them look like, except for, like, the obvious ones. And half the time, I'm like, who are you? Am I supposed to know who you are? Like, am I going to sound really dumb if I then find out who you are?
Yeah, I kept going into the replies going, oh, right. Like, I don't know why Matthew Nyes didn't look like himself. And Nick Robertson did not look like Nick Robertson. I was like, oh, okay.
I noticed that too.
I was like, hold on a second.
It for me is the scar on his cheek. And I was like, oh, that's Nick Robertson.
Yeah. And then I guess who else? I don't really know what Gregor looks like. I don't know what Benoit looks like. I think I vaguely know what Lagesson looks like. And then, so, like, those ones I definitely didn't know. And then I'm trying to think, there's somebody else.
There's also too many people on this team that look exactly like.
Yeah.
It's like if their mouths are closed, it's just the long blonde hair is what it is. Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, you are European.
Yep.
That's all I got. And then obviously John Tavares, when doing these candy videos, goes, not much of a candy guy.
Never have been. Even growing. The man jumps into a monologue about how he's never been much of a candy guy. Chips, chocolate, that's where I'm at.
I've never heard anything more on brand for Josh Norris.
Literally.
I don't know what to say. Like, if you had to tell me one fact about John Tavares, you told me he's not much of a candy guy. Like, I was like, yeah. Sounds like John Tavares.
Like, that's just who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's so funny. Just like, I know he's not trying to be funny is the best part. And he's so funny.
He's such a dad.
He is such a dad. And then, like, I think back to that photo of him with the bleach blonde hair. I think he has a cast on. And I can't remember what the shirt says. But I'm just like, that's not John Tavares. This is like John Tavares to me is like that John Mulaney bit that's like, you don't think of me as having been a child. I just, like, popped out like this. I'm in the back eating saltines between shows. Like, that's all you can imagine for me. Exactly John Tavares.
No, literally.
He's eating kale or something. Like, he's not eating saltines, but, you know, something like that.
My other favorite part of the Sweet and Sweets video, I forget who else was in it, but it was one of the parts where Willie walks up again, and he's, and it might have been Mitch, I don't know, but they were like, oh, is this what you eat? Is this your diet? And he was like, yep, this is what I eat for every game. Truly, I could see it. Willie just hounding down a box of chocolate, some sweets before each game.
Some Swedish meatballs. That's it. That's what we've learned is William Nylander is a little bit of a stereotype. We're like, oh no, there's no Swede whose favorite food is actually Swedish meatballs. William Nylander. Mm. William Nylander. So we do have other Swedes. They did take Lilligren on the trip, even though he has a high ankle sprain. His foot's in a cast, though. So that makes me think maybe not high ankle sprain. I don't know.
A boot.
Yeah, he's in a boot.
So actually, yeah, I guess it could be. I don't know.
But they went to the premiere of a film about, I believe it was about Boris Amin. So the Swedes and John Tavares. Noted honorary Swede, John Tavares.
So funny.
Go to the premiere and they're like walking the red carpet and stuff. And then, so yeah, Lily's there. He has a high ankle sprain. We haven't seen Klingberg, though. He's on the trip. He's injured. He apparently skated for 5 minutes and then left the ice.
Oh.
Which, someone was like, we're just going to leave him on a Swedish farm. I'm like, yeah, that's how I'm feeling about it. Because he honestly, he's been shit. And since the Leafs have not had him and they've been sitting Reeves, they have played so much better. And, like, the team looks like how this team should look. And Nyes is thriving with having, again, real line mates. Who knew?
Crazy. Crazy concept.
Yeah, so I would like the team to continue not to have Ryan Reeves. And to continue not to have John Klingberg unless he can get his shit together. I think that's it for the Leafs for now. I'm, like, kind of watching the game on my phone. It's tied 3-3. Mark Giordano saved a goal on the Leafs. No. That he would have scored by accident early on in the game. He, like, went to get the puck to tap it in, and he fell, and he's sliding. As he's sliding, his foot literally keeps the puck out of the net.
Oh, my God.
That's so emo.
It's sad. All right, moving on. What do we know about West Coast teams? If I barely know anything about the Leafs, I've just consumed what I've consumed through social media. I don't know what's going on in the West at all.
That's how I am with the Kings. I'll jump into this. I have no idea how I do not pay attention to their hockey, but I was like, you know what? We're going to do Kings this season for West Coast team. I have no idea how they're doing in hockey. So the only knowledge I have of their third and Ick with 23 points. Sure. Sounds good. I, again, same here, only consume through social media and through my stalking. Also, if you have not looked at their Instagram, highly recommend it. I think I talked about this last week or whenever we recorded last. Their graphics are phenomenal. Whoever their graphics person is, fantastic. But going through even just their Instagram, you can see how ingrained they are in their community. And so I went through, they have on their website, they have a list of all of their like special days. I swear every single week there's a celebration, appreciation night. I will just go ahead and name them all for you. Then there might be more, but this is what I got. Dia de Muertos, salute to service. Hispanic Heritage, Native American Night, Salvadorian Heritage Night, Japanese Heritage Night, Lunar New Year, Black History Celebration, Women's History Celebration, Pride Night, which they are giving out sparkly rainbow palms. So if anyone listening lives in the Los Angeles area, sparkly rainbow palms. Sounds fantastic. Filipino Heritage Night, Armenian Heritage Night, First Responders Night, Indian Culture Celebration, Green Game, which is apparently a game of raising awareness of moving the earth or moving the world to more sustainability. And then Mexican Heritage Night.
Damn.
Just all of the things.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, but it's all like good, right? Like they have a very multicultural city there, right? So
yeah,
they're, you know, leaning into celebrating the
city. Got something for everybody.
Exactly. It's wonderful.
That's wild. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. They're very ingrained in their community. They do, from what I've gathered, they do like a lot of work and like donate a lot of like their time too, which is, I think, very telling. It's not just like throwing money at something, but they donate a lot of their time to like different causes and different I can't think of the word now, but
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just gonna say, I imagine their ticket sales team must work really, really hard to like, because when you have to do that many community nights, you have to work really hard to like get groups together, not just to sell the groups, but like to actually like the people who like put together like the community groups, majority of the time in hockey, it's not just like you don't have like a set like production team for community nights. A lot of the time it's like your ticket sales team, like in sports, who are the ones that are putting together the people who are like performing as well. Like that's part of group sales. So like you have to, it's tied into ticket sales. So like, oh, you want to perform at our game? Well, you have to either buy or sell X amount of tickets to be able to perform at the game.
Okay.
So yeah. That's always been how it's been in sports. And so it like, I cannot imagine with having that many like different diversity nights, just how hard their ticket sales teams must have to work to like dedicate all of that amount of time, because like you to do those community nights and to do them well and to do them respectfully, like you have to like actually put in a lot of work. Because otherwise like it falls apart really easily.
Yeah. Honestly, good for the Kings. I love that they're doing that. I think it's really good to celebrate everybody, right?
Yeah.
Hockey should be a more diverse sport than it is, and its fans are very diverse, despite what they want you to think, they being the NHL, and middle-aged white men. But it is, we all need to be celebrated for, you know, our love of the sport.
No, real.
All right. I don't know anything about any West Coast teams. What about you, Shay?
I have not been following the Winnipeg Jets as closely as I said I would. So I'm not going to lie. I have somewhat been following the Sharks, but just barely, more in like the train wreck kind of way.
You're watching a train wreck, of course.
Yes.
I too have been doing that. I didn't even say I would, but I've been enjoying the Sharks doing whatever the hell they're doing. They won 2 games in a row. Woo, go Sharks!
Crazy. First two of the season?
First two of the season.
Back to back, they beat the Flyers, which Gabby did call.
Yeah.
And then they beat the Oilers, which I think it would have been way funnier had they just beat the Oilers, but it's fine. They still lost. The Oilers still lost, so it's okay.
For real.
They're still horrible, though. The hockey gods hate them. They're just so cursed. Like, the most insane goal was scored on them. I'm going to try my best to describe this. They're playing the Ducks. One of the Ducks takes a slap shot. It hits one of the Sharks. Sorry, from the blue line. It hits one of the Sharks' sticks right at the blue line. It starts peaking. It's going way up. Like, super high. Nobody can reach it with their hands. The defender jumps right in front of the net. The goalie is down and doesn't get back up in time. And it just goes right over his shoulder into the net.
It's the saddest goal I've ever seen in my life.
It really is.
Hilarious.
It's so funny. Like, I can't stop watching it.
It's kind of like,
it looks like a movie clip. Like, you're like, oh, that would never happen.
Yeah.
Due to the Sharks.
You're like watching Mighty Ducks. This is what would happen in Mighty Ducks. Like,
no, literally. With the way, like, the thing that, like, captures my attention the most is, like, the moment the slap shot is hit and it hits the defender's stick, it, like, makes the stick wobble. And,
That
wobbling motion really captures my attention, and, like, the way the puck, like, flutters in the air, too. Like, something about that motion just, like... It's comical, almost.
2 inches off the ground jump gets me.
I have to close it because I'm going to keep watching it.
I'm just sitting here staring at it on repeat. It's so bad.
It is. I haven't checked in on them since. I don't think they've won. Let's see. Because that was like last week. Oh, I just typed in Sharks thinking. No, I didn't even type in Sharks. I just typed in Shark in Google. That's not going to get me anywhere.
They have won another game because they're 3-13. I will tell you who they
won against.
The Blues! Yeah.
Love it. I love it. I love the San Jose Sharks beating the Blues 5-1. I hope Jordan Binnington was in net. I hope.
Okay, wait. I have a question.
He was not. Well, he had 1 goal scored on him. But still.
I do just need to interrupt this conversation to tell everybody that Leafs went overtime and Willie scored the game-winning goal.
Who else? Love that. Legally, love who it. Else?
Give him a contract right now.
That was a very beautiful defensive play by Morgan Riley there. Oh, yeah. Peak William Nylander kind of goal, end to end, and doesn't even look like he's gonna do anything, and then just kind of pokes it through the goalie's legs. Yep, that's Willie for you. Yeah, so the Sharks have won, have beaten the Blues now as well, but that's still not very good. I don't pay attention to the Blues except to shit on Jordan Binnington. That's all I know about the Blues. It's like, I see something, we're shit, like, I check, we're shitting on Jordan Binnington. I'm like, great, awesome. I too would like to shit on Jordan Binnington.
Yeah, real. Real and true.
Like, that's what happens every time. I'm like, oh yeah, that's the stuff.
Yeah. I will say, when we played the Sharks the other night, there was a little bit of a struggle. Like, I think my team underestimated the Sharks a little bit too much. Because there was, like, it was, like, 1-1 at one point. And then, like, we struggled. And then, finally, the Sharks, like, gave up. And then we scored a whole bunch of goals on them. And then it was 5-3.
But wonder, like, if the Panthers have a little bit of Leafs thing there where they'll like play down to their opponents.
Perhaps.
And then sometimes they wake up in the third period and go, oh shit, right, we're a way better team than them.
Perhaps you are correct. Perhaps you are more than correct.
You know what? If there's two of us in the same division doing that, that's okay.
Yeah.
We'll cancel each other out as we, like, fight to the death playing each other, but we play, like, Detroit or Buffalo, and we're like, this is really hard, guys, actually. We don't remember how to play hockey.
No, real.
Yeah, I think the Sharks are gonna get silly wins this season. Mm-hmm. I think that's how it's gonna go. I would love for them to break the fewest number of losses title. I think that would be really fun, just because, like, I like when things go badly for other people.
Yeah.
I'm a Leafs fan. I've been through basically hell. I can't even describe how many horrible years they had in just my lifetime, which is not very long. Let alone, like, someone like my parents' lifetime, my grandparents' lifetime. Like, anyway, so I feel like I'm allowed to laugh at other people's sorrow a little bit. Speaking of laughing at other people's sorrow, Edmonton.
That's such a great transition.
It is, because I'm just going to laugh at Edmonton. So, when we left you last, Jack Campbell had been put on waivers. He cleared waivers, which is funny in and of itself.
I can't believe he cleared waivers.
I can't either. Oh. It's funny in and of itself. They are honestly a fucking mess. The Oilers are a fucking mess. They, fired their coach the day after they won, but they lost to San Jose, and then they beat somebody, and then they fired their coach last Sunday. And you know that they're getting desperate because they hired Chris Noblouch. I'm sorry if I butchered this man's name. I don't know. who coached Connor in Erie. So you know they're getting desperate. You're like, oh, okay. I see how this is going. Yeah. Next up, we're acquiring all the former Erie players. So we're getting... I tweeted that from the podcast account. And off the top of my head, the number of Erie Otters I could list from that era, alarming. And then I thought of another one after. Okay, so off the top of my head, Travis Dermott, both Radishes, so Taylor Radish and Darren Radish. Obviously, Dylan Strome, Alex DeBrincat. I had forgotten about Mason Marchment. Yeah, like, I should not be able to list 8 former Erie Otters from, like, whatever year that was, 2014.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with me. Yeah, so I genuinely think that once they acquire someone like that, they're trying to like get the band back together type thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know they're fucked.
Things are bad.
They're like really fucked.
Yeah.
Every single time the press talks to Leon Draisaitl, he looks like he's about to commit murder.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. But that's what it looks really like. And apparently Connor McDavid is pissed. He might actually be asking for a trade, which is crazy. Like, do you know how bad they have to be for Connor McDavid to ask for a trade?
Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid, who like everyone was convinced was going to be a lifelong Oiler. Connor McDavid.
That's crazy. Connor McDavid. I genuinely believed this man would play, like, say he plays till he's 35. He plays 34 of those years with the Oilers. He takes 1 year elsewhere. Like, that is what I saw.
Yeah, for him.
That math doesn't work, but you know what I mean. Like, he plays until he's 34 with the Oilers, and then his last year, he plays, like, half a season with the Leafs or whoever. Like, that's genuinely what I thought was happening. But I don't know. Like, could anybody actually trade for Connor McDavid?
Can anyone afford Connor McDavid?
That's what I'm saying. No. Like, I think you would have to do a blockbuster, and Connor McDavid would be put in what is probably a worse situation than Edmonton, which is hard to get. You know?
Who would be willing to do a blockbuster trade?
Yeah, like, I have no idea. I don't think anybody really has any cap space. I know last year there was like two people who didn't use LTIR. Who has? Give me current cap space. Not this way.
Honestly?
Nashville has 8 million.
Really?
Chicago has 13 million right now. Nashville, Anaheim, Buffalo have 8 million, 9 million, 9 million, 13 million. Interesting. But again, Nashville's on a decline. Anaheim, I guess Anaheim's going up, but like, I don't know how I feel about it. Buffalo, again, going up, but like, going up to being mediocre. And trading for Connor McDavid with like what you'd have to give up would not be worth it for Buffalo, I don't think. Same with Anaheim, really, because you probably have to trade like Trevor Zegras, and I don't know who else is on that team. Somebody else.
All of those teams are kind of cursed, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, they definitely are. But like, those are the only people who could really afford them.
Yeah.
Now, at least. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't see how any of these teams could. I don't think anybody could, because you'd have to trade, like, 5 roster players and 10 draft picks. Like, it would be a ridiculous ask for Connor McDavid. I don't see how this works. Well, you're stuck there until your contract's over, whenever that is. Give me a second, I'll tell you. I think it's several years. 3 more years.
Cute. That's not that bad.
Yeah, that's
true. I thought it was worse.
It was. Me too. 2026, 2027, he'll be a UFA. And Leon Draisaitl the year before that. I think they're way more likely to be able to trade Leon Draisaitl, but I don't know if they would.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if they traded Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid might just, like, stop trying. Well, I don't know if he'd stop trying, but, like, he has no line mates at that point.
I think he'd just, like, kill himself at that point.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to say that, but he might.
Yeah. Not to joke about that kind of stuff. I think I would just yeah. do that in his place.
I'm fucking retiring.
Real.
Or, like, put him on unconditional waivers for purpose of terminating his contract. He's just a free agent now.
Yeah.
Like, something like that. He's...
I was, like, on cap-friendly, and I was like, why don't I even see the Edmonton Oilers? And I was, like, scrolling past their fucking logo for, like, a million times.
Okay. Kind of related to Edmonton, mostly related to Connor. I can't stop thinking about that McStrome fan cam I sent that's set to Taylor Swift's Last Kiss. Where it's like, I watch Your Life in Pictures like I used to watch you sleep. And I just, like, I can't stop thinking about it. What yeah. happened between those two? I need to know. Like, I think about it constantly.
Realistically, they probably just, like, grew apart. But, like, for the drama...
My heart, they're, like, two... teenage girls who don't know they're queer and have the most dramatic friend breakup. Like, that is what yeah. in my heart happened between those two. I don't think that's true, but we have no proof otherwise, so.
Have you ever read Check, Please?
I have not.
Oh, please. I need you to it's a webtoon. It's a hockey webtoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a queer hockey webtoon. With, like, it's, like, college hockey that leads into NHL hockey. And it's really good. And there's, like, a lot of really good fan fiction for it afterwards, too. So I have recommendations for fan fiction after you finish reading it.
Sounds good.
And something that'll maybe lead to that line.
Noted.
I'm not saying I read real person fan fiction. I do not, but something along those lines made me think of that.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I get it. I'm keep thinking about the McStrome book. Alex, yeah. remember we talked about that? I'm going to find it. We're going to read it. Once I figure out the name, because somebody only posted the description, so I gotta figure out the name, and we'll read it in the summer. Wait,
there's a McStrome book?
It's, like, it's a hockey romance that is basically the McStrome Ven. Plot.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
We're like, oh, yeah, we know what this is. Like, someone posted the description, and we're like, okay, yeah. This is Connor McDavid and Dylan Strome. Got it.
Okay. I love that.
So yeah, we'll read that in the off season. I'll figure out the name and we'll read it in the off season and discuss. Yeah. Okay. What else is happening? The NHL is allegedly planning on having a best on best tournament. Fucking finally. Mid season 2025. They said between the Super Bowl and March Madness.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I know. That's how they use their planning. I would just like, did they listen to this podcast? Maybe they went back a few months and listened when we made an entire idea of them doing a game like this. Maybe they listened, finally.
Mm-hmm. They might have. They genuinely might have. The other intention is that they'll go to the Olympics in 2026, which, please.
Mm-hmm.
Please!
Like, I'm not gonna hold my breath, but, like, I'm dying for the NHL players to be back in the Olympics.
Yeah. Not to mention, like, somebody pointed out that this, like, it would be McDavid's, I can't even do the math, like, 10th season? Yeah, like his 10th season or 9th season in the NHL before going to the Olympics, when he should have gone to 2 before that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. Especially because we could have had, like, now we're going to have, like, nearly 40-year-old Sidney Crosby if he's still well enough to play because he has such an injury history. And McDavid, when we could have had you know, very new McDavid and Crosby at his peak.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, like, the States would have been really good. Like, they'll still be really good, but, like, they would have been way better. Not way better, but, like, have, like, different chemistry and different, way different options. The last Olympics and two Olympics ago. That would have made for a really good rivalry there. And, yeah. I mean, fucking having Hank in net for Sweden with William Nylander and mm-hmm. and like John Klingberg when he was playing well and stuff like that. Like, there were so many good options.
Yeah.
And now we're going to have, like, do I want to do the math? Like, 29-year-old McDavid? 20, yeah, in 2026, 29-year-old McDavid. And like 29-year-old or like nearly 29-year-old Matthews, nearly 29-year-old Marner. Yeah. Like all of these players will be not, I don't want to say old, but like old for the sport.
Yeah.
When they could have been 24-year-olds, right? Mm-hmm. Like spent a couple years in the league, are dominating the league. We don't know what that's going to look like in 3 years. For these players, right? Pisses me off. The NHL hates us. Also, I mean, it is technically John Tavares' fault. He broke his leg. But it's fine. What else? Oh, they're gonna have more animated games. Because those are fucking fun. That is how you grow the game of hockey, actually. My dad and I literally watched the NFL game live from
Andy's
room.
The Toy Story one?
Yeah. Yes. We don't watch football in my house. We don't watch any football. CFL, NFL, we don't watch football in my house. But we were watching that and having fun.
It was like, so good.
Wait, what are the animated games? What am I missing here?
So that last year they did, what's the show called? Something Green? Big City Greens? Something like that? They basically animate what is going on in the hockey game, and you watch it a couple minutes delayed. So you're watching like animated football players play football in Andy's room. I don't know how better to describe it than that.
That's actually really cute. I really like that.
Yeah. And then so the last year they did the NHL did Big City Greens, which is not something I'd ever heard of, but it was so fun. They had fun animations and like they're just it was so fun to watch. And like I was watching through clips on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But because I don't think it was available in Canada, but like genuinely so much fun.
I love that.
Exactly. And like they were explaining that at least the NFL one, they were explaining things like you were a child.
Aww.
Which is good because like that's what I needed for football.
That's so good. Yeah.
I would just like to say when we were watched that, we won every single round of the trivia. Did not get a single prize. My claim to fame is Andy's room football and Toy Story trivia. Nailed it.
That's your trivia best topics.
Yep.
Yeah, like it's just like way super fun. It's a way to get young people into the game more than they would be, especially like non-traditional markets again. Yeah, I think this is one thing that the NHL is actually doing right. Who knew the NHL could do things right?
Yeah,
I'm so surprised.
Genuinely shocked.
The next point just takes this away.
Yeah, yeah. The next point does take this away. So Logan Thompson, the Golden Knights goalie, wanted to put a cancer ribbon on his helmet because it's November, which is Hockey Fights Cancer Month. It's Movember. It was their cancer night. And the NHL said no. Like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
So dumb.
For all those pro-cancer folks out there.
Like, what?
I have no idea what to say about them. I just, like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
How did they not let him do that? Because they let Bobrovsky, like, theme a whole helmet.
This year?
Yeah, this year.
Interesting.
So, like, Bobrovsky has a whole purple helmet for Hockey Fights Cancer.
My guess is it was the ribbon itself.
Maybe, yeah.
Isn't that, like, that's fucking insane.
Yeah.
I... Peak NHL, really. Genuinely, I nothing else to say. Peak NHL. The Penguins are retiring Jaromir Jagr's jersey in February. Very exciting. I don't feel like he... I feel like they waited this long because they're like, he's got to stop playing hockey sometime. And he hasn't. So they're just like, it's fine. Fine. We'll do it now. They're just like, I guess it's time because he's not going to stop playing professional hockey. So we'll just pick a time when it works for him. I don't know why I bothered putting this on the dock. I think Minnesota made another trade. Minnesota made, I think, two trades. I'm looking. They traded for... What's his name? Zach Bogosian. From Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
For a 7th round pick. That was just, like... fun because somebody said like there was a lot of narrative involved in the Wilds and the Leafs being in the same hotel because you have obviously like Bogosian and Mitch, like that is Mitch's dad. I know Mitch has a lot of dads, but he's like more dad than some of the other dads.
Yeah,
but not as much dad as Patrick Marleau. Like it's like Marleau Bogosian, and then you have like his list of other dads. His actual dad being at the bottom of the list, of course.
Of course, naturally.
And then Brock Faber and Matthew Nyes, because they played for Minnesota together, University of Minnesota. Is that right? University, the other one?
Yeah, University. I get them mixed up. University of Minnesota, me too. Sure. Sounds
whichever
good.
School
sounds
they right. played for together,
go first, they played. I think. Whichever one that is.
That one. I'm just, I don't know. there was somebody else too. There's like just a whole lot of narrative in the hotel. Not as much as like Hotel X during the bubble season. But Hotel X makes me laugh. Like, every time I'm in Toronto and I'm like near where Hotel X is, which is like, there's a concert venue right there. That I go to, like, I was there, like, 6 times this summer, and I was, like, every time, like, Hotel X. Like, every single time. It just, like, that's makes so me funny. Laugh. So, yeah. They also, Minnesota had also acquired Adam Raxa and a 5th-round pick from San Jose for Kalen Addison. I just thought it was kind of random to have 2 trades this early on in the season. But they did. That's it. We're going to skip to women's hockey and then we'll come back to men's hockey for a minute, unfortunately. So, women's hockey. They have confirmed that they, or pretty much confirmed that they won't have names and logos for the first season. So all those trademark names, they hired like a, basically, I don't really know what her title is, but I think kind of like a CMO, chief marketing officer, or something like that, where she, and they want her to review the logos and names, sorry, not the logos, well, I guess the logos, I assume they have been working on them. And then the names that we saw that were trademarked before they go ahead with them. And I think she's going to go and say, bad branding with Wicked. You're not going to find, it's going to be hard to find this hockey team because of Wicked the Musical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it'll be stuff like that that all of us have said already. Like, I think it's going to be pretty obvious. So we're not going to have those names or logos for the first season. We're just going to have, like, Toronto, PWHL Toronto. They have released the jerseys. They're, like, basically meh. I don't really care. The font's not great, but I love the original kind of, like, old hockey style of the city name across, or going, like, diagonally on the jersey. And I don't mind the shape. I don't know why the shape looks frumpy. Did anybody else notice that?
I need to look at the jerseys.
Let me show. I can send you one.
I didn't think the shape looked that bad. But
it might have just been on some of them where I was like, this is not a good fit for you.
I didn't see all of them. I saw only some of them. But I didn't think the shape looked that bad. I just thought, like, they were just, like, a little, like, they weren't bad. They were just a little boring.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I think, you can rarely go wrong with more stripes. Like, I think, like, a couple thinner stripes on the arm instead of having, like, the long black bit. At the wrist, I would rather have, like, more stripes and no black bit. And then same with the bottom. Like, the same kind of deal. Like, I don't like the thick black stripe at the bottom. But yeah, so it is what it is. I'm not really all that concerned about jerseys. Like, yes, they probably should have better jerseys, but it's more about the actual facilities. They have a place to practice that's good. They have medical staff. Each team has a doctor, minimum has one doctor, two athletic trainers, and a massage therapist, and the league itself has a chief medical officer. Way better start than any of the other leagues finished. So, like, that's a good place to start. They'll have, hopefully, we're not entirely confirmed on playing venues yet, but we'll hopefully have pretty good playing venues that are relatively easy to get to and not, I don't know, like, in the middle of nowhere. I'm hoping their playing times are less likely to overlap with, you know, the kids, because that was my biggest thing, is, like, they'd play Saturday afternoons. Basically, every minor hockey association either has a game or a practice on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be hard for you to get kids out to games if they're all Saturday afternoons. We do have confirmation that they'll play kind of any day of the week. There's no, they won't just play on weekends, which is good and how it should be. I don't know if, again, that might, depending on where the arenas are in comparison to, like, populations, it might be tough for some people to get there on, like, a Wednesday night or whatever, but if the on-ice product is good, it'll be watched, right? And we know that it will be good. They also are planning on having all the games on TV, which is good, because it was always just, like, one-off. I'd be like, oh, like, this game is actually being on going to be on Sportsnet this week. Let's try and make sure we watch it, because otherwise it was just, like, remembering to stream it as opposed to I'm flipping through my guide and I go, oh, yeah, there's a CWHL game being played on TV today. Stuff like that. What else? Oh, the part of the reason, I don't know, I think we might have mentioned it before, but, like, the the reason why they didn't stick with some of the PHF branding, most notably the Minnesota Whitecaps, they don't own that trademark. Them, Toronto, and Montreal, they are owned by, like, separate entities. I don't really know how to describe them because they're, like, made-up entities for the purpose of, like, the Montreal PHF team. But they weren't acquired as part of the PHF acquisition because I guess they're owned by someone else. So, yeah. So, like, most notably the Minnesota Whitecaps trademark, which is the long-standing one that has existed in at least 3 different women's hockey leagues over the last 20 to 30 years, is that would be why they haven't done that. So maybe they have an opportunity now with more time to acquire that trademark and keep that branding because it's pretty strong in Minnesota. They will have preseason evaluation camp held in Utica December 3rd to 7th. All the teams are doing training camps right now. We've had some clips from them, which is also super cool. We've never really seen anything like that before. So it's nice to see, like, oh yeah, we can see that, you know, whoever is battling out for spots on Ottawa or whatever. Very fun. So yes, the evaluation camp in Utica will have all 6 teams. They'll have training sessions, practices, and scrimmages at the venue that will host the Worlds. And some of them are open to the public. They are, unfortunately, similar to Worlds time slots. So they're like 10, 1, and 7 or something like that. Maybe 10, 2, and 7 during the week. But if you're around, you can go see, get a sneak preview of the PWHL. Colton Orr is joining New York as an assistant coach. He's been coaching, I think it was the Connecticut Whale, for several seasons now, and I think he's had a good rapport with his players and is well liked by them. Lastly, for women's hockey, Soraya Tinker has decided to retire from hockey. She just kind of said it's her time. I'm wondering if she thinks maybe she won't make a team because she was not drafted. She was just invited to a training camp. I think it was with Ottawa, and there's not too many D slots available. So she says it's the end of her playing career, but it's just the beginning for her. And we'll see what she ends up doing next. She's had a great impact on the sport and excited to see what she does next. All right. Before we talk about the next thing, where we'll just say, if you don't want to hear about the Milan Lucic situation, this is the end of the episode. You can follow us on Twitter at ForPucksSakePod, Instagram at ForPucksSakePodcast, TikTok at ForPucksSakePod, and Tumblr at ForPucksSakePodcast. Otherwise, trigger warning for domestic violence, domestic abuse. This week, it came out that Milan Lucic's wife had called 911, and he was arrested late last night for an alleged domestic violence dispute. The team has issued a statement that they're aware of it and that he's taking a leave of absence from the team. While it's being resolved is the framing they use. This is apparently not his first time doing it either. There was, allegedly, an incident in 2011. In Vancouver. I think I was really busy yesterday, so I didn't see everything, but I think they were asking Brad Marchand about it. Yeah. Isn't like, that's like a fucked up thing to do when it's such a new situation in general, let alone like asking someone at all.
Yeah.
When the NHL players don't make any political statements or polarizing statements, we'll just say. Like, I don't know. It's just so fucked up. Like, all of it.
They made Brad Marchand make a statement, and then Brad Marchand made him a statement that admittedly was not great. Because he was like, Lucic is a friend of mine, and my heart goes out to his family or whatever. Admittedly, just does not sound great because he's, like, says he's thinking of his family, and he's, like, it just doesn't sound, like, right, because it sounds like he's supporting Lucic, you know?
Yeah. Like, I don't know, it's such a fucked up thing to ask just in general, and like to put someone on the spot for that as well when there's been minimal information about it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like at that point there was very little out at all, and yeah. Like, why are you asking someone's opinion on something that, one, is a legal matter, yeah, and two, is like, that puts him in a tough position because the NHL has no domestic violence policy. There is very little likelihood that, unless Milan Lucic is like arrested, sent to jail, like not physically prevented from playing hockey, that Marchand will have to play with him again.
Yeah.
Like, you're putting, I'm not defending Marchand, but I'm just saying, like, it's a fucked up thing to ask because of the whole situation surrounding it. And just like, I don't know, it makes me so mad. And the fact that the NHL doesn't have a domestic violence policy makes me even more mad.
Yeah. Like every other league has one.
Exactly. And even if they're shitty, it's something.
It's the bare minimum.
Exactly. And like, I feel like as a fan, I am trying to mentally keep track of the people who have, you know, like, committed domestic violence. So I'm like, oh, I don't want this person on my team. I don't want that person on my team, because the NHL doesn't provide a means for me to say,
yeah,
like, to know, like, I have to just remember, which is also very fucked up.
It's so fucked.
And then the way the commentators just ignore things like this, or say, went through troubles in the off season, and you're like, yes, definitely troubles is the word here. The whole situation is fucked up. Our thoughts are with Lucic's wife and children, and we hope that she's safe and I can get out of the situation.
Definitely.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Right. Yeah.